You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I was thinking about coming out of the shoot here and telling y'all about my new boots that I got on, but y'all want to talk about puppy chow?
Clint, what is that, ostrich?
Hell no, that's python.
It's Sturdy's Daily.
Before we get to that boner.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Dirty's Daily Reaction Monday is powered by Zootopia. Zootopia. Have y'all seen that movie yet? Ron, you got kiddos. Have you seen Zootopia?
No chance.
I think maybe you should check in, man. Zootopia. Tyler, I just think you may enjoy it. I took my little girl to Zootopia at the movie Saturday morning around lunchtime. I've got a great story behind it. It's not made for Reaction Monday. I don't want to chew up this valuable airtime, but tomorrow I will be telling you guys about my epic damn near failure on my little girl's first date with daddy.
I took her out for a date.
Yeah, this is a doozy here. This was a doozy. You'll be all right. You'll forgive me cuz you understand where I'm coming from, but first time to the movies in a long time. I'll make sure I knock that out tomorrow. But it was a great show, great movie. My little girl loves it. Zootopia. I encourage everybody out there to go check it out. The movie theaters are still a thing. COVID did not knock them out.
I love going to the movies.
Still. Do you really?
I do.
You do?
Yeah, man.
I tell you what.
I used to just go by myself.
I had the lady behind me laughing her ass off because I sit down in that chair. I didn't realize how recliner action they were. That thing about threw me out of it.
Yeah.
Didn't realize it, but
give me a big thing of popcorn. Give me some peanut M&Ms. Throw them in there.
I got it, man. I don't want to get too deep in this because I'm gonna tell the whole story tomorrow. But man, we've got these kids out there, man. Learn how to communicate, man. Especially if you're gonna be in the service world or in the people world, man. Learn how to communicate. It was rough go at it. But the Texans, they knock off the Chiefs in a monster win. It's a Reaction Monday. So I do have a couple of things here, Ron. Immediate takeaways from the game. This is a monster win, right? The Texans just won by two scores in Arrowhead, which is historically one of the most difficult places to win in the NFL, especially at night when it's cold in December against that particular franchise being the Kansas City Chiefs. Winning by two scores was tremendous. And they did it. They win by two scores with the Houston Texans offense having negative 2 yards in the third quarter. With the Texans offense having three completions in the second half of this football game. C.J. Stroud completed three passes in the second half of this football game. They were reeling for the most part offensively, completely overwhelmed. Unfortunately, once again. But nonetheless, you get the win. The defense was absolutely tremendous. You knock off Kansas City, and I don't care what kind of season Kansas City's having. If you're the Houston Texans, there's some good in that. There's some good to be taken away from that. You play, at least defensively, you play and get a win in primetime football, which hasn't always been hadn't always bode well for the Texans. It did this week. And I think one of the bigger things here, Ron, is just the simple fact that the Texans won three games in a row.
Mm.
Three games in a row against Buffalo, Indianapolis, and Kansas City. And you just continue to carry the momentum over from game to game. And now you're going to carry this momentum over into what you hope is a run towards a division title right here. That keeping that momentum rolling right there, Ron, was absolutely huge. And in fact, this is a win where, again, regardless of the season that the Chiefs are having, this is a season where you can actually build confidence. And I mean, this is a game, a win, where you can actually build confidence and build momentum.
Yeah. No, it's it was big. I told you earlier I didn't think they would go 3-0 in this stretch of games.
They damn sure did it, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. And in all of the games, they were in control damn near from start to finish. And the Buffalo, Indy, and the Kansas City game, they were in control right off the jump and made the teams play the way that they want to play. So, yeah, man, it was a big-time 3 weeks culminated by that big win on the road.
Well, this win put the Texans in position to have a real shot at the division and damn near lock up one of the wild card spots. Not quite locked up, but damn near lock up one of the wild card spots. But what I want to focus on more right this second is the position that they're in right now to potentially win the division. If you look at right now, the Jacksonville Jaguars are leading the division. The Colts are going the wrong way with the Achilles tear of Daniel Jones, their starting quarterback. And really, they're three quarterbacks deep with Riley Leonard, the rookie out of Notre Dame last year, having to take over the quarterback position. We'll see how that goes. But you got to believe that they're gonna continue to trend in the wrong direction given that particular injury.
And their schedule. Yeah.
And their schedule is difficult, right. But here's what the Texans need for all my Texans fans out there. The Texans need to win the remaining AFC games on their schedule, which, again, one of those is the Riley Leonard quarterbacked Colts. One of them is, I don't even know if Geno Smith's going to be alive by the time we get to this game, but the Raiders in the AFC, and then obviously the Chargers, who you can watch play tonight, who have been decimated by injuries on the offensive side of the football as well.
Quarterback just had surgery Monday on his hand.
His opposite hand. But though, you need to win those three games, and then you need the Broncos to beat the Jaguars. And believe it or not, what happens at that point is you go several rungs deep into the tiebreaker, and what ends up being the tiebreaker at that point in time, I believe, is the value of unlike opponents, not common opponents, because you had the same common opponents, but it goes to, I believe it's Carolina. Golly, it's Carol. They have Carolina and the Jets. We have Baltimore and, gosh dang it, I can't think of who the other one is, but it's a good team. Baltimore and somebody, and ultimately the teams that we play in that particular instance, I think we will end up having probably the same record, but our two teams that on our schedule are significantly better than the two teams that they beat on their schedule, and so we would win in that tiebreaker. I believe that's what it gets to. It gets about four layers deep into the tiebreaker, but all that we need to focus on, we win our AFC games left, the Broncos beat the Jags, and the division is the Texans.
Yep, it's right there, potentially. Jacksonville's playing well.
Yeah.
They're playing really well, too. And even though Daniel Jones went down, they were dominating that game. And they just beat the hell out of the Chargers not too long ago either. So it'll be fun, man. But those two teams are both coming on, and two of the hottest teams in the league.
Yeah, man. It's going to be fun to watch down the stretch, see if the Texans can take this thing over. And anytime that the tiebreaker has to go three or four layers deep into something, you've at least – There's at least been some entertainment provided, to say the least. I'm Clint Stern alongside Ron Ugly. You're listening to Sports Radio 610, Houston's sports leader. And I do think Look, I think the headliner, even on the offensive side of the football, is the struggles in the second half, Ron. They're unacceptable struggles. It's fireable offenses, in my opinion, at this point in time in the season. If you don't have a better response and adjustment to that kind of pressure and it doesn't happen quicker, then you are completely overwhelmed and definitely out over your skis. But I'll leave that for another segment. Right now, I think what I want to focus on is that first half that C.J. Stroud had. And, Ron, we've been talking about C.J. Stroud for a long time this year in this offense, and it's just he's not been comfortable. He's not been anywhere remotely close to the C.J. Stroud that we saw in 2023. I don't think it's a stretch, and I do think there's a for good reason. We were having conversations about, hey, who looked better? Who fits better in this offense, Davis Mills or C.J. Stroud? I think those were very real conversations until yesterday in the first half. I'm going to tell you what we watched yesterday in the first half for C.J. Stroud. You and I have had many conversations trying to decipher and really you know, try to talk this, the Davis Mills, C.J. Stroud, this style versus that style, processing and all this kind of stuff. We've really talked that to death, right? Those comparisons. What we watched yesterday in the first half from C.J. Stroud is precisely why this is your starting quarterback. It's precisely why this guy is a player, a talent that – If you can figure out how to play four quarters, if you can figure out how to marry him to an offense, if he can get comfortable in a system and play that brand of football, this kid can win playoff games at a high level. I mean, that first half yesterday was significantly better than 10 points. When you talk about managing risk and deciding when to take chances, when to play inside the system, When to be all gas, no brakes, he was phenomenal. When you talk about the instincts, and I'm just talking about the instincts of physically playing the position, of knowing when to slide up, knowing how much to slide up, knowing when to set your feet, knowing how to manipulate the defender, the pass rush that's coming at you. We saw Pat Mahomes do it. We see him do it all the time. CJ did some of that in the first half. When the moment came of like, hey, man, it's time to go make a play, in that touchdown drive in the first half, Ron, There were several throws. Not all of them were highlight reel throws. We all remember the throw to Nico Collins, not the deep ball over the top, but I think the one back across the grain. There was also one to Dalton Schultz on the sideline.
Touchdown, too.
Yeah.
Marks.
Yeah, that was the third one. And the touchdown that got taken off the board with Dalton Schultz. I mean, these are all really, really, really good moments, really big moments, and moments where your quarterback's playing outside the system. He's playing under control, but off schedule and outside the system. That is what takes C.J. Stroud from going, hey, man, this dude can process, this dude can deliver the ball accurately, he's a ball placement specialist, he has crazy amounts of power with a really compact stroke with his arm. And then all of a sudden you go, and he can do X, Y, and Z that other guys just can't do. Ron, that first half, there were several moments, I'd say four or five plays in that first half that you go, that's the C.J. Stroud that's different than any, you know, scheme quarterback. That's the C.J. Stroud that's different than the quarterback that can just stay on script and can stay ahead of the chains and not take risk with the football and almost be robotic. That's the C.J. Stroud that's different. That's the C.J. Stroud that could ultimately become a franchise quarterback. And unfortunately, we only saw a half. I thought we were going to see four quarters. I thought, all right, here we go. This is the moment. This is the moment where C.J. Stroud takes this offense and run. Now, we didn't get that in the second half. They stepped way back, backslid in the second half. But the fact that we saw it for one half, Ron, was impressive. It was something that we hadn't seen to date. So I don't know what you thought about that first half and how impressed you were, but I'm going to tell you, man, the TV copy in the moment, I was thoroughly impressed, and I saw a C.J. that we hadn't seen all year long.
Yeah, man, he did what he needed to do, man. He made plays. And did things that you can't teach. But as you said, we were talking about it last week. Boy, he's got to juggle. And I think he did it. I think he even did it in the second half. I mean, hell, there were most moments he didn't have time to be able to, yep, to do anything. But juggle when to take a chance, but also understand I have to make plays as well. I've got to. And so to figure out how to do that, to play with the style that his team needs to play with, but then know I'm in Kansas City. I'm going against Mahomes and that group. I got to make plays. And we talked about it. He made plays that legit led to points. And he severely outplayed Patrick Mahomes in this game. Didn't turn the ball over. Didn't try to force it in a way that Mahomes did. And if you looked at it, you said, which guy looked like, you know, he had won Super Bowls and multiple MVPs? C.J. Stroud looked more like that in this game than
Mahomes.
Well,
C.J. definitely looked like he was more up to the task to overcome in some adverse situations, some adverse conditions. And he did that to at least well enough to where the defense could hang on to that 10-point lead and we get the dub. Now, I tell you, Tape Drop Tuesday is going to be big for me, Ryan. Two things I'm looking for in a big way. And I think I'm going to be critical of Nick Caley. I'm going to be critical of the offense. I've stroked the guy left and right for 5 or 6 weeks now, and this second half was bad. Two things I want to see. What the hell was going on with all these pressures? How are you snapping the football with that being the scenario up front? The communication, the understanding, the plan. How are you even snapping the football? Take a delay game, call a timeout. You can't keep snapping the football, and they did it for multiple snaps, multiple plays, multiple drives. Right, number one. Number two, the stagnant formations, again, this applies to the pressure that you didn't have answers for. There's got to be a way. This is multiple times this year, and to their credit, they nonchalant clearly aren't real worried about it, but this is multiple times this year where they've just very matter-of-factly said, oh, yeah, man, you know, the defenses are going to roll the safety over the top of Nico Collins, so we got to find answers
elsewhere.
Yeah,
they just completely took him out the game.
That cannot be – that's unacceptable. That coupled with this pressure situation is unacceptable. You cannot, absolutely cannot, line Nico Collins up consistently for a full quarter in critical situations when you're getting bombarded with pressures and just – leaving stationary over there. It can't happen. So I'm going to go back before I get too critical. I'm going to watch and see what kind of movement went down. I'm going to try to figure out what was going on with the pressures up front, because those two things have to get fixed. I mean, this is not a CJ problem.
This is not an
O-line problem.
You're going to be mad.
At what?
At when you watch
this. I'm sure I will. Hell,
someone texted and said Caley was bad in the third quarter as well. I think he was bad the entire second half. I think when they made plays – I think Woody Marks made a run.
Absolutely.
I think Dare Agunbawale wouldn't go down.
Let's be honest.
I knew it was over there.
Andy Reid bailed his ass out, giving him the football twice in field goal range. That ultimately is what saved Caley's ass.
But those drives, CJ made a huge throw to Higgins, and then, you know, they
you're right. It was the whole second half. It wasn't just the third quarter. The third quarter is just when you had negative yardage.
Yeah. The other times they started in field goal range.
Yeah, I mean, that was that's got to be – I just think it's time. D'Amico Ryans has got to – like, you got a month of football left before real – like the real season starts. And this offense, you don't – the bad thing is you don't have to be great. You don't have to be good. Just don't screw it up. Just don't go backwards. Just don't have three completions and a half. Just don't have negative yards in a quarter.
You couldn't have told me Trent McDuffie goes out and Nico doesn't get a ball.
I don't even know if I got another target.
I don't remember it either. All right, coming up as we continue – we will get back to the Texans. Remember, we're out at 5 o'clock. The coaches show, D'Amico Ryans coming up at 5. But the college football playoff is set. Mm. And Notre Dame, they are pissed off. Took their ball and went home. Do you find anything wrong with what the committee decided? Should there be any major changes to the process? We'll discuss next.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Airo.
I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Notre Dame. Supposed to be a rep for university, right?
It's a Mokarem Injury Lawyers Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in on a Reaction Monday. Coming up at 5 o'clock, we're off, but the coaches show with D'Amico Ryans, following us, so stay tuned. As you'll hear from Coach after their huge W in Kansas City. We'll get back to that as well. But, Clint, the college football playoff bracket are out. Everyone was waiting to see how this thing would shake out, Clint. And I think it was really just down to really three teams, right? Alabama, who had lost to Georgia, what was it, 28-7 in the SEC championship game. And then Miami and then Notre Dame. Those were, it seemed like it came down to, because of the situation of James Madison and Tulane being the fourth and fifth highest rated and ranked conference champions, that they would get those spots. And they ended up going with Alabama and Miami getting the last two spots, and Notre Dame being left out. And hell, they've just said, we're not even going to compete in our bowl game. They're just skipping. They're taking their ball. They're done. They're going home. Before we get to that point, do you have any issue with what the committee did in terms of the 12 teams they put in? Really, the two at largest, because they can't really control James Madison and Tulane.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, I got a problem with the whole thing, the way it all unfolded here. I mean, the beautiful thing is that this, it's so extreme that it's going to require some level of overhaul. It's going to require them to make moves and make changes. Unfortunately, it's in hindsight. The people that put this together should have known that this could happen with James Madison and Tulane getting in. The truth of the matter is, you got two teams on the inside that have absolutely zero chance of winning the college football playoff, and you've got two teams, one for damn sure, if not two, sitting on the outside that would have a significantly better chance, and that's Notre Dame and obviously Texas, who wasn't getting in no matter what happened after what we saw unfold. So, I think I got a problem with all of it, absolutely. But to your point, I mean, I don't know whoever thought that playing conference championship games and making the point that they can't hurt you, they can only help you. I don't know how on God's green earth anybody that's evaluating football teams and college football playoff brackets could say that. I mean, if you go out there and you get skull drug the way that BYU did, or if you turn around and you get dominated wire to wire the way Alabama did, there is no way that you can overlook that. I mean, you can only bump them one deal. You can let them in. But there's no way that anybody should have ever thought conference championships, we're going to play them, but they ain't going to mean nothing. They can't hurt you. They can only help you. That was plumb ass silly. So now we're stuck in a position where it hurts the BYUs of the world, but it doesn't hurt the Alabamas of the world. So, yeah, man, I got a problem with all of it, and yeah, I think Notre Dame got screwed. And I think Alabama, if you're trying to get the best teams in, there's nothing you can do with Tulane and JMU, and you're just looking at the three teams you mentioned. I think Notre Dame got screwed, and I think Alabama should have been a team on the out looking in.
Yeah, I think they're going to do something to change something big time, but I don't want them to. I think the ACC and other teams and conferences should change whatever the crazy tiebreaker situation is that gets them to a point where a five-win Duke team or five-loss Duke team gets to the conference championship game when you have another two-loss, you know, a team that's got two losses at Miami. It's got to, like, ranking, head-to-head, something's got to jump in there to make that, because Duke should have never been able to play in that. And I think that right there would have fixed it. But I ain't gonna lie, I hope that they don't, because I think James Madison found a glitch in the system.
Mm-hmm.
And the glitch in the system is, oh, darn, like, the ACC let Duke in. And they aren't going to get ranked over them if they beat Virginia. Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't know. I don't know if Virginia, Duke, and James Madison are that different of teams, right? Like, I bet you they'd all give each other a run for their money right now. It, the three of them, I bet they're at a closer level right now, just the other two playing the ACC. But they found a glitch because the ACC champion wasn't ranked as high as them because it ended up being Duke, and they get in. I don't think that will rarely ever happen. I think in most cases, Miami would have been in that game. And that would have played itself out, and it would have just been Tulane. It would have been just the one team. And for me, I do like the thought process of having a bit of the March Madness, at least a team that's a real Cinderella.
Well, the glitch to me, correct me if I'm wrong, Ron, but the glitch comes when you did away with the Pac-12.
As the other, when you did the top
five. You had five potential championships, and so you only had one outsider. Like, there's only a chance of one other conference champion outside of five. Now you're looking at the highest ranked conference champion outside of four. And if one of those four messes the bed, boy, you're in a tough spot.
Yeah. Or your conference, like, or your, but see, my, it shouldn't have messed the bed. Like, Miami should have been in their conference.
Agreed.
Championship intended to. And they're ranked. Like, I don't know how it doesn't go to
the highest two ranked teams.
Yeah, head to head. If head to head and all of that doesn't matter, the two highest ranked teams, I don't know how it doesn't go to that. That seems silly. I don't even know how Duke got in over them with that. But I hope this change doesn't just say, all right, we're gonna really make it to where we're gonna just keep, maybe mid-major type teams out of it. We're gonna force it. Like I heard someone said, if you are a conference champion, you have to be ranked in the top 10 or something to be able to get in. So James Madison doesn't get in, and then they would have put Notre Dame in. Because it's never going to be the 12 best teams. It's going to be the 12 most deserving teams. Like I said, it's never going to be that, right? So I don't know. I don't think they got it wrong. It damn sure, Notre Dame can't get in over Miami. That damn sure couldn't happen. But no, man. James Madison, I hope they don't get the doors blown off of them by Oregon. Probably will. I hope that thing is tight. But
do we know if their coaches, is James Madison's coach and Tulane's coach going to coach them in the college football playoffs? I know they coached him in the conference champions.
I think so, because what, Tulane's coach is going to Florida, right? And
JMU's, I can't remember where he's going, but I'm pretty sure
he's leaving too. Yeah.
Iowa State, maybe?
No, I didn't, because that just came open.
Yeah, the Washington State coach is the one that's going to Iowa State. He's the one that took a bunch of kids to Washington State with him and then left them after a year, and he's going to Iowa State.
Yeah. Just switching it up, baby.
Just switching it up. Got to do what's best for my family, man. Move closer to home.
No, yeah. But this is just going to be, if they move it to 16, we're going to do this with 15 and 16, or 16 and 17. Yeah. We're going to do it with this thing all the time. But again, for me, like, see, I'm not as certain that, I know Sean Pendergast may be upset with this, but I'm not as certain as, like, oh, yeah, Notre Dame and Texas definitely could be a team that could win a national championship. I'm not saying they couldn't, but I like they haven't been consistent enough this year that leads me to believe like, yep, they're gonna be able to run through three or four. Like we've so much so like you've left a team at Notre Dame. The only two teams they played on their schedule that is really really worthy, they lost to.
Yeah.
Right, and Texas has just been up and down. I believe Texas probably can win one of the games, and then they may go back to being, the other team that played half the year. So, interesting. I hate the fact that these cats are just saying, I ain't gonna participate in these bowl games.
Come on, man,
K-State's out.
I mean, take your ball and go home if you don't get what you want, boy. Just for a program to, to set that standard with all their players is just that's wild. Man,
they bowl game that now they got to figure that out because this is making it worse. Those bowl games, they got to figure out what they're going to do.
Well, look, I understand the teams that have a coaching change and don't have a staff in place to prepare for a bowl game. I totally understand. Even though I would argue that the new staff, if you're going to hire that guy, should use those 15 days to go practice with his team to figure it out. Last thing you should do is cancel a damn game. But I could understand a team bowing out that. Either has just ravaged by injuries or has had a head coach change. These teams that are just bowing out of bowl games because they want to get a head jump on the portal or they're trying to prove this point about the calendar or they're pouting because they didn't get the college football playoffs. Man, I went to two bowl games, man. I'm just going to tell you, man, it was just some of the best times of your life, man. On the road with your guys for sometimes 10, 12 days, maybe a week. In Florida, somewhere a lot of these guys have never. I mean, I know I'd never been to Florida, and I'd never obviously been to Dallas. But I mean, just the experience that comes with it, man. As much as these boosters are paying these kids nowadays, man, for a team to just be like, nah, I'm good. I mean, that's wild, man. Yeah. Hell of a standard to set.
T-Mill's best bets coming up, and are we starting to see the Texans making teams panic and fear? We'll discuss that coming up next.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Mokarem Injury Lawyers Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Welcome back on a Reaction Monday as the Texans get a huge win over the Chiefs. They moved to 8-5. They have the seventh playoff spot at this point, and one game out of first place with the Jags. Coming up a little bit behind us, Texans All Access and the Coaches Show. Coming up right as we get done here at 5 o'clock, D'Amico Ryans will join the fellas for the Coaches Show. T-Mills, best bets. He's got a lot of Monday Night Football action tonight. For the most part this year, the football bets have been fruitful. So I have a chance to win you some money. And he finished off Friday 4-for-5 with a bang over the weekend. So jump in with T-Mills, best bets as they are coming up in a bit. Clint, I think the turning point in the game was when Andy Reid elected to go for a 4th-and-1 on his own 30-yard line. And it was a decision that seemed to be made as if he, I don't know if he feared something with the Texans or what.
Didn't have a protractor out there.
But it started to feel like the game was going to come down to who made a mistake. And something like Andy Reid felt like they had to try to go after it and be ultra aggressive. I don't know if it was the Texans or what, but to me, Andy Reid flinched and the Texans took full advantage of the mistake that was made there. And maybe the Texans defense, I'm not sure, but it was really, really surprising and interesting to see him make that decision, which eventually, I believe, changed the momentum of the game.
Yeah, look, I think in hindsight, there were two things that happened in this ball game that swung the game significantly.
Significantly?
Yes.
No, one of them.
And Andy Reid's decision right there is one of the worst decisions I've seen in the NFL, really in all of football. I mean, the only thing worse is Bill Belichick hiring a defensive-minded head coach as his offensive coordinator for a year, and somehow everybody tried to make sense of it. Like, going forward in this situation was the worst decision. It was a 10-10 ball game. You had all the momentum. The Texans' offense was completely overwhelmed. It was just a matter of
– Do you think they were just going to try to draw them off sides when they went
I thought it was for sure going to be a draw them off sides and then punt. Nothing in that moment. I don't give a damn who you are, how good you've been, who your quarterback is. But I don't care. Nothing at that point says that you go for it. And he literally handed points and the momentum in the entire game over to the Texans, knowing the Texans have a defense that you are going to struggle to move the football against in a major, major way. That had 13-10 win for somebody. I don't know who it was, but that had 13-10 win, last second field goal with no time written all over it. And Andy Reid somehow loses 20-10. The other one that swung this game big time was the phantom call, holding call or defensive P. I don't remember what it was. The one on Nico Collins, and they called it right after 22 went out of the game. His replacement came in.
You talking about against the Chief?
Yes, it went against the Chief. That swung the game, I think, in a big way. That would have been the Chiefs immediately getting off the field again, but instead they convert that first down, and I believe they went down and scored.
Yeah.
I thought that phantom call swung it because what you saw was, you know, the Texans were in a position where they needed to get just some breathing room to try to punt the football. They didn't do that very well in that call, which was a awful, awful call.
You know,
that never should have happened.
That's 5 yards, man. You ain't had to give up the rest of it.
Yeah.
You ain't had to. I mean, it's five. I mean, I agree with you. I think it was a tough call.
Well, you were just off the field. I mean, the play happened. You're off the field. Nico's completely away from the play. He was a non-factor in that play. Must have been when they rolled the safety over the top because the quarterback didn't even look that way. But it was, you were off the field. So it was a major swing in a sense of they kept the ball, kept a drive alive, ended up scoring points when in reality you had them off the field. So I think those two things swung the game significantly in that moment. And I think both of them, obviously fell in the favor of the Texans.
I think it was a bad call. Mm-hmm. You got to stop them the rest of the 85 yards.
Fair.
And they scored a touchdown on that drive too, to make it 10-0. I do think that is going to be a decision that Andy Reid is going to be. Well, luckily for him, he has the hardware and the success that he has had.
Mm-hmm.
Or boy, they'd be talking about that a lot more if because that was just awful. I mean, it was just
season on the line, man.
It was as if he just didn't know what the game was like. Season I think he thought Randy Moss and Brady and all of them were playing off.
Season on the line with the defense bailing you out. The defense was bailing you out.
Yeah, the reason they had momentum
at halftime.
Yeah, the reason they had momentum was the defense.
Oh man, what a bonehead move there. But
yeah,
here we are. Thank you, Andy. Appreciate you, bub.
All right, T-Mill, let's get them. Let's get your best bets as you try to get this week started off right. A little Monday Night Football action. Westwood One coming on right after the coach's show. What you got tonight?
Yeah, looking to not do what we did last Monday, which was a over on the Monday Night Football game. Don't want to do that. Get started in the right direction. We got a couple 8-4 teams going at it tonight in California. Eagles, Chargers. First, I like the Chargers money line, to be honest. I think they're winning this game, but I'm going to give you the points. Chargers +3 tonight as they take on the Eagles. Next, I'm on the over. I got it at 41.5 points. I believe they eclipse that. The Eagles and Chargers over 41.5. And then three player props, one of them being an Eagle. Receiver A.J. Brown, I'm on over 4.5 receptions. Ooh. That number just seems way too low. The odds aren't great, but there's a reason for that. -160, over 4.5 receptions for A.J. And then two Chargers props for you here. The quarterback, Justin Herbert, over 18.5 rush yards for him. That could be one broken play right there, and you got money in your pocket. And then lastly, the pass catcher, the veteran for the Chargers, Keenan Allen, I'm on over 3.5 receptions for him tonight and the Chargers. Those are your five best bets.
Yeah, Justin Herbert better get his ass down. That is crazy. That man had surgery on Monday on his hand. He's in his game.
I think I'm going to go with the Keenan Allen catches with you, T. You got me?
That's not bad.
I can lock you in.
Thanks, I'm with you. Bob. AJ, you just never know what Jalen Hurts and company do with AJ. Now, they may try like hell, Tyler. They may try like hell, but
it seems like when they try, everybody eats. It seems like Goddard eats. It seems like, what's the other kid's name out of Alabama? The Heisman Trophy winner out of Alabama? Smith. It seems like everybody eats. But we'll see.
D'Amico Ryan's coming up behind us. And then Monday Night Football, as you just heard, those bets, Eagles, Chargers, courtesy of Westwood One. If you missed any of those bets, go to @TMillRealDeal to catch up and find out what you need to win some money on. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. I am running the show. As always, Houston, we love you, baby.
A lovely day. Bundle Rooski, Bundle Rooski.
Tyler, I love you too, man. You so H-Town.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga, here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original. Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.